Welcome, everyone. My name is Chris Keneally at Copyright Clearance Center, and we are talking today about Copyright Clearance Center's annual copyright license for academic institutions. Joining me is a trio of licensing consultants, and we want to give everyone a preview of an upcoming webinar. We're going to talk about some common questions, and we hope that these will answer some of your early questions, but we want to invite you to let us know some additional questions that you may have, because we can answer them at the webinar. First, I want to turn to licensing consultant Dan Short. Dan, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
Well, you know, it's good to see you. And let's talk, first of all, about the number one question people have for this license, and that is the repertory. How many titles are in the repertory, and what exactly is the process for bringing titles into it?
Yeah, that probably is the most common question that we get. As I'm sure you know, and some of our listeners probably know, that under copyright law, when you launch a new product or service, it's opt-in. We have to go solicit publishers for this new product, and so we've been diligently doing that. We're averaging about 20 new publishers a month, and the repertory is constantly ratcheting up and growing, and as of now, it stands at about 1.7 million titles and over 700 publishers plus their subsidiary imprints. And how we go about this, it really a couple different prongs. We look at our in-house data from our pay-per-use services, which have been available for over 20 years. We also look at just general market trends, what we see being used, consumed by academic audiences. And then last but not least, we actively encourage people to send in their favorites, their most heavily used publishers, because that helps drive our prioritization and our solicitation of publishers. And in some cases, we've had a fairly quick turnaround from a customer request to the publisher join the program, because we have a concrete request to use material on the table, and that gets the publisher to respond.
Right. It's nice to be wanted, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And the way that this is all working out is that it allows for rights for print use and for digital use.
Yes. Under the license, you can use material both print and electronic form.
Well, great. Thanks for that, Dan. And now I want to turn to Annie Ortega, a licensing consultant as well. And Annie, the question that follows from that is the kind of coverage that the license provides. What sort of rights are we getting, and what does that then allow the licensee to be able to do?
Sure, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here. And to answer your question, the annual license was not created in a vacuum. We had a team of folks that worked over 3 years trying to develop a product that would resonate among academic institutions of all shapes and sizes. So the license provides institution-wide coverage and affords unlimited reuse rights of the content participating in the repertory for both, as you mentioned, print and digital distribution. So pretty much any type of reuse that occurs on campus today is allowed under the license. For instance, you can photocopy for course packs and class handouts. You can also use content electronically, such as posting to an e-reserves application or course management system. We've really come a long way since the era of the photocopy machine, when it was considered new technology. The license itself is technology neutral. You can disseminate content via smartphone, also e-readers and other mobile devices.
Well, I think that's great news, because certainly on campus, people are using a whole variety of devices. They're not sitting at a desk or only studying in the library anymore.
That's correct. Things have changed since I've been in college. And kids today, they are so technically savvy that they use material in different ways and share material in different ways.
And that's great. And I'm sure also reassuring to licensees, because it's nice to know that as the content needs change, the license follows along.
Exactly. It will evolve as technology evolves.
Great. Finally, I want to turn to Karen Melanson. Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
And you're going to tell us a bit about what happens once a licensee acquires a license. We don't just stop there. We provide some services. Talk about that.
That's correct, Chris. We're very proud of our license support program that we've developed to ensure that the colleges and universities are getting the full value of their license right from the very beginning. Upon adoption of the license, schools receive access to an online resource guide that has many materials to help them get started right away. There are customizable templates to communicate the license across their campus. We also provide a dedicated account manager to help answer those day-to-day questions that come up when a librarian is getting started or an administrator is getting started. Additionally, we offer vendor integration with national course pack providers or off-campus copy shops who might be compiling the course readers or course packets. And here at Copyright Clearance Center, we know that copyright education is vital to the success of this program. So we are hosting one-hour copyright education webinars, copyright basics sessions for librarians, faculty, and staff to all attend. And after that takes place, we are getting requests for additional training.
Right. So it's nice to know that the support piece really is a promise and a commitment from Copyright Clearance Center.
Absolutely. We really have developed a set of best practices and procedures to help schools take advantage of all that the license has to offer.
Right. And a toss-up question for anybody here. While the license itself is relatively new, what Copyright Clearance Center does is not new at all. We've been at this for a while.
Yes, we were created in 1978 founded in 1978 at the suggestion of Congress to provide this type of service for not only academic institutions but also corporations. So we are not new to this industry. We're here for the long haul.
Right. Well, listen, thank you all very much for joining me. We've been talking with Annie Ortega. Annie, nice to see you.
Thank you again, Chris.
And Karen Melanson.
Thank you.
And finally, Dan Short.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Well, as I say, a pleasure, and I really wish you all three great success with the webinars coming up. We hope that this has been a nice preview, a little sample of what kind of information you'll be letting everybody know about, and we hope that if they have any questions, they will email you in advance of the program. This is Chris Keneally for Copyright Clearance Center. Have a great day.